This episode is brought to you by Get Group. Learn more about secure, ISO-compliant mobile driver's licenses and sign up for a demo at getgroupna.com. Welcome to AnvaCast, bringing news, information, and expertise to the Anva community. Here's your host, Ian Grossman. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the AnvaCast. We are so happy you can join us for this edition where we're going to be talking about an exciting partnership between one of our jurisdiction members working with an industry partner on a really interesting initiative. So we're going to be joined by a couple of guests from the Ontario Ministry of Transportation and their partners from Infosys to talk a little bit about their program on their driver medical review program. So before we jump into the topic, let me introduce you to our guests that we have with us. We have Logan Purdy, Director of the Driver and Vehicle Services Branch at the Ontario Ministry of Transportation, and Roman Carpuz, Director of the Transportation Safety Solutions Delivery Branch, also at the Ontario Ministry of Transportation. And rounding out our panel is Kevin McConomy, Director of the Ontario Public Sector for Infosys Public Services. Gentlemen, welcome to your first appearance on the AnvaCast.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah. So let's talk about this exciting initiative that you've been working on and rolling out, the Driver Medical Review Program. For those who might be listening that probably don't even know necessarily what those words may mean in the context of Ontario's program, Logan, maybe we could start with you and you could give us a high-level overview as to what this program is all about.
Sure, Ian. Thank you. The Driver Medical Review Program is a program that I'm sure is run in many jurisdictions across North America. And basically what it boils down to is Ontario doctors are required by law to report individuals once they become licensed who may have a medical condition that may impact their ability to drive a motor vehicle safely. So our own medical review program with about 50 to 60 staff currently receives over 200,000 medical reports annually. And those staff review and assess those reports to make decisions based on our own national medical standards established by the Canadian Council of Motor Transport Administrators, which is similar. It's the brother to sort of AMBA and our own internal ministry policies. And then based on that assessment, the ministry may suspend, reinstate or downgrade the driving privilege or may decide to monitor and take no action at all.
Yeah, and the program itself has been around, you know, for some time. But so now the new part of it, it relates to how you've tied it into your modernization efforts. Is that correct?
That is correct. And I'm sure there's a lot of jurisdictions that are kind of looking at maybe this as a good fit for a program to modernize. Just like in the United States, Canada, our population is becoming older. People are holding on to their driver's license longer. And with that, it's a growing population of people that might, as they age, have more medical conditions. Mm-hmm. And despite, you know, continuous improvements that we've tried to make to the program, it's the right time to modernize and create efficiencies for that business need for and system transformation. You know, some of these challenges, as I mentioned, include, you know, annual increases of medical reports, like I said, largely due to an aging population, an outdated system with some manual processes. And of course, we live in a world of, you know, Amazon, same day service. And I think people expect that from government as well. So we have growing client expectations. And we don't really have right now self-service capabilities, which people have also gotten used to in our modern world. So we're trying to make those level of changes to our system to be more client friendly.
So what did that start to look like? And I don't know whether that's you or Roman wants to start to address, you know, how do you take a program that existed in the traditional sense and go, okay, how do we leverage modernization or modernize this particular program? What are the objectives in terms of reaching those populations that really take the program into, you know, the 21st century?
So I'll take the first half and then I'll kick it over to my colleague, Roman, who's been involved with the modernization of our system in general since I think day one. So the medical review program was sort of selected as one of those programs that would be a good initial component of our overall drive for business transformation for, you know, our drivers, our carrier, our vehicle. We have an outdated legacy system that needs to be modernized. And it really ties into the government's push also to become more digital and more user-friendly and client-facing in Ontario. And I know that other governments around the world are going through that as well. So we've had this plan to transform all our driver programs. And this was sort of a foundational case of a management solution, you know, that had been sort of implemented in phase one of our transformation on the carrier, truck, and bus industries line of business. And I'll just let Roman kind of speak to the sort of transformation and modernization that we're going through in terms of the overall project.
I'll jump in there. I think the biggest key here is the modernization / transformation program is a multi-year long-range program. As Logan mentioned, we've already delivered the carrier line of business. And really why we did that is when you think of Ontario and its clients, there's 60,000 roughly, you know, carrier drivers out there. While you've got about, 10 million drivers and 12 million vehicle owners. So really the 60,000 commercial truck drivers were the ones that we wanted to test all our, you know, our solutions on, our base solutions, our framework to deliver large programs, as well as our, you know, project management practices. And the idea is that we would deliver something that is of smaller impact like carrier, and then move on to the larger pieces. What you're seeing now with what we started here in phase two with driver medical is really the start of the driver and vehicle portion, which will actually land in phase three. But ultimately, it's the start of the more complex driver world and more complex vehicle side of the line of business on behalf of the ministry.
And is that phase two, Roman, that includes a public phase two rollout? That's not just internal development. That's actually out and deployed.
Yeah, we're in the middle now, actually, of deploying with our partner Infosys. We've got the internal components being worked on, and then the outward facing piece will come at a later phase. I think it's in January, if I'm not mistaken, as the release date. And I think what's important on this is the difference between release one and release two is really the way we've executed. Release one was more executed as sort of, you know, the old school kind of waterfall approach, and, you know, did all the requirements up front and then actually did the delivery. Phase two, we've now moved to more agile practices, more DevOps practices with, you know, Infosys helping us to lead the way on that. And that really is client focus, as Logan mentioned, where we really are looking at the client journey. And one of the questions you had, Ian, was how do you move something that's been there for what, 30 years, right? And how do you move it into the 20th century? Is really looking at the client experience over their journey when they start a driver medical review to when they actually get an outcome from the ministry. It took quite a long time, a lot of going back and forth with mail, and so, you know, they call snail mail, right? In sending information back and forth through letters, as opposed to all the digital capabilities today of email, text, etc. So really, we're really moving this program in the digital sense, as Logan mentioned, really focused on the client, where something could take months, now could take days or weeks, depending on what the situation could be.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned a couple of times working with your partner of Infosys. Kevin is on with us from Infosys. So talk to us about your role in the partnership here in terms of the piece that Infosys brings to augment the activities of the ministry.
Well, I guess you could say that you know, we're working closely with the Ministry of Transportation, really, at their guidance. You know, we've been really focused on making sure we deliver to their timelines. You know, we've set a nice standard or timeline for the implementation, and that's really been our focus. And also, you know, advising through an agile approach, as Roman mentioned. being able to, you know, work through the various iterations and then do our updates with our team. So coordinating on the back end with our various work teams and making sure that the deliverables are there and meets those requirements that the ministry is has set out for us. The key thing is also bringing the talent to the table. You know, this is a multifaceted system moving from more or less paper-based in the past and older technologies, but now, you know, utilizing all of the tools that that are available to us, be it, you know, automation from a physician case entry into an individual driver wanting to log in and find out, what is the status of their position. So it's been excellent, and they've been excellent to work with.
Kevin, your mention of the physicians makes me think about how so much of what many of our members are dealing with modernization is often kind of the back end, updating, converting, you know, the platforms. But when you talk about the customer facing and the stakeholder facing, that physician interaction is one that maybe we don't do on an as regular basis as some of our other constituents. So could one of you talk about how you're approaching that particular part of the stakeholder outreach, whether it's to physicians or other populations that, you know, are a key constituent here, but aren't necessarily the ones we think of right away when we think of the top list of customers that our agencies interact with?
So on the physician side, obviously they're a different community of users, and they have their own sort of point of care systems. What the ministry has done is work closely with organizations, so associations that maybe represent that community, and have gotten a lot of good input through their associates, so the Physician Association in Ontario's Ontario Medical Association, and their IT affiliate is Ontario MD. So, you know, working closely with them, understanding the requirements and what the technologies that the physicians are using in order to be able to input that data. So it's been an excellent experience there, and trying to make it as easy for those physicians to enter that case data for the medical review process.
So working with that community, obviously right now they are and have been absorbed with, you know, the events of the modern world and the pandemic we're in. How has the timing of this and working on this particular project been impacted by COVID-19 and the factors that that pandemic puts in front of us?
Well, I mean, I can take a bit of that one. I think that this particular, project has really kind of is a case study in how to launch something in the midst of a pandemic. They really took good partnership from all sides in terms of coming up with solutions, being agile, as kind of Roman pointed to, not only in the delivery, but also in the way that we were doing things. So my operational staff, you know, they would be coming off an old system. We were able to manage to get them to work remotely during the pandemic, something that had never been done before. So keeping the operations going and then getting to a point where we were going to have to train them on a new system. And usually training is done, you know, in person, in a classroom, in a tight space. And we just weren't prepared to do that, obviously, in the midst of COVID-19. So what we did was we worked with our change management vendor, also Infosys, and came up with more virtual training for our staff, and peer-to-peer working through going on to the new system, making it user-friendly. So we tested it with different operational staff in terms of how the system worked, putting together little pods to make sure that we were working through the system, doing everything we possibly could to manage the change on all sides. This was a project that is, it's complex. Anybody that's been involved in a medical review program knows how many different policies, standards, decisions that could be made. So not only building that into the new platform, but also training the staff on that was under tight timelines to deliver. You know, it was really a fantastic success from our point of view. And, you know, COVID-19's brought all kinds of challenges, whether you're dealing with work, there's really no escape in terms of hearing about it, dealing with it, whether you're working remotely. So, kudos to my own staff and to our vendor Infosys and Roman's team for us tackling all those kind of hurdles and challenges and overcoming them to implement.
Any other surprises, not COVID-19 related, that any of you have tackled during the part of this process? You know, a number of you have mentioned that kind of agile approach where you try it, you go back, you look at it, you adjust. So what are some of the curveballs that came up that you had to tackle that maybe in a traditional project approach you didn't anticipate, but, you know, the agile approach allowed you to manage through?
Well, I'll chime in. I think a lot of it had to do with the way we were working in that agile way. You know, before you would have to document all the requirements, nail them down, and then deliver. Given that we worked in a very agile approach, we were able to actually gauge and see how our sprints were moving. Were we getting the right velocity on the requirement sets that we were targeting for each of the releases? What interactions or what I'll call it tweaks or pivots did we need to do at the management level and at the working level to make sure we increase velocity? So we, as Logan said, I mean, Driver Medical is a very complex program. And so at the beginning, we were seeing a lot of slowness in terms of the velocity of getting through the sprints. We made some adjustments and, you know, injected some different people and, you know, made teams a little smaller, a little more nimble, and that was able to, you know, get the velocity back up to where we needed it to be to make the releases happen. The other thing was, you know, we're also tied to other vendor partners who need to provide solutions for us, and one of them happens to be the Ontario OMD.
Ontario OMD is Ontario Medical Association.
Is there a delivery partner who we need to work with to be able to deliver some of the components that Infosys needed to? Well, mm-hmm. Guess what? They're impacted obviously by COVID. And so that was something that we didn't expect. And it took some an escalation and having some discussions about mitigation to the point where we're now able to, you know, deliver what we needed to do by the March timeframe. So a couple of impacts here and there. I would say that a lot of the things that did come up are actually, you know, quite, smaller, and I've seen bigger problems come up. But for some reason, this driver medical review program with Infosys and the ministry has gone really well. So knock on wood, and I hope that keeps on going.
Yeah, I think the other thing I would say is just, you know, it really just boiled down to team. You know, every partner played their part, whether it was Roman's team, other sides of IT, Kevin's team, and my own staff. It really was a team effort. I think when we implemented too, I heard one of Roman's team, who's been involved in a lot of major IT projects, said this was one of the most successful between business, vendor, IT implementations they've ever been a part of. And it was rolled out over a long weekend in September. And, you know, we had staff back in the offices with masks, doing their best to socially distance. And that's one of the problems that we faced as leaders as well, because we're bringing in a big change component. And usually you can have things like celebrations, you know, mm-hmm. Kudos. And we had to do that basically virtually. And, you know, it took away from sort of the social congratulations that sometimes, you know, you would have in terms of one of these implementations. And, you know, the best efforts of everyone working long hours and making it a success was really, you know, a good case study in implementing something like this. And I know that there's other jurisdictions around North America that are interested in modernizing their driver medical program and other platforms. And, you know, we're here to help. You know, if there's other jurisdictions that want to reach out, I'm more than happy to kind of share some of the lessons that we learned. And I know that Roman would as well.
I'm sure there are, and I'm sure, you know, many would be listening to you, Logan, and hear you say that partnership between business, IT, and the industry partner here with Infosys in this case. You mentioned you had a team member that said it was one of the best convergence of those three elements. What did you do different? I think everybody would be listening saying that there's hardly a project that doesn't require those three components, and sometimes it works well and sometimes it doesn't work so well. What was your magic wand in this case?
I think one of the great things we have is sort of right on down from staff to leadership. You know, when Ann Rose experienced Roman's boss, you know, was right there to provide executive leadership. We had, you know, a lot of check-ins with the vendor on a weekly basis at the executive level. And just, we try to work through solutions, you know, rather than point fingers. You know, I don't think that's ever really helpful. There's always two sides to every story, and you want to be as objective as possible and work together. And I think those were, you know, some of the principles that I think we used, and I think everybody wanted to make this a successful implementation. And, you know, I don't know if there's a magic wand, but I think having that executive leadership, you know, Roman's got a lot of experience with these, with IT projects. It was sort of learning for me. I just came into my particular branch in the last year. So I had a sort of a fresh set of eyes wanting to make sure that it was implemented successfully. So I think that, you know, when I say team, I kind of felt that way about all sides of both the ministry and the vendor. So it just worked well.
And Kevin, from the outside looking in, if you were to share with another jurisdiction, you know, to do something, to do it right, here are some success factors that worked well in Ontario, what might be some of those tips you would pass on?
Well, I'd say, you know, as Logan said, the relationship means a lot. You know, working closely with the team and constantly, you know, looking forward and planning really tightly, you know, on what is the plans, what's the risk, and so on. You know, going through the Agile process, I think we really nailed it down well with the ministry, and just, you know, stepping through each process or each iteration was key. So communication was key, back and forth between us and the ministry. We went into it knowing the infrastructure and knowing, you know, what we were up for. So that was important from an outside vendor standpoint. What were we stepping into, sort of working through a lot of the you know, what could be a problem right up front. And like I said, you know, being open with each other around what possibly could go wrong and being able to address it as quickly as possible. Logan did mention sort of also senior executive involvement was key in making this a strong success. The ability to, you know, maintain that dialogue and work through the issues was fabulous.
Yeah, I'll add to that. I mean, open communication and the ability to really be transparent with each other's needs, et cetera, was key. And I think, as Logan mentioned and Kevin, the leadership really honed in on the outcome, right? What is the business outcome that we're trying to achieve here as part of this initiative? And when you know you're in a good place in terms of delivery, when you've got a team and some people don't know if the person is from the business or the IT or the delivery partner, in this case, in office. And that is key, because then you know you've got one balanced team that's all striving towards the goal of the business outcome and objectives. And typically you're in a good situation when, you know, no one goes back to check on contracts and say, what does a contract say? that's the key to this, is focusing on the outcomes of the program and working together to get through it.
Yeah, I think the other thing, just to add, because I think Roman makes a good point too, the outcome was important to us as leaders. And we made sure that the staff, you know, the staff that I have in my area that have been committed to the driver medical review program for a long time. We wanted to make sure that whatever system we brought in, you know, it's going to serve them. It's going to make their jobs easier. It's going to be user friendly. So we did have that level of engagement on the ground level, because, you know, you don't want to put forward something that is going to change somebody's job on a daily basis that's just going to cause frustration for the purpose of implementing a project. You really want it to have a positive outcome. And, you know, almost 2 months in, we're seeing already benefits of the way the system's working and getting really good feedback from staff in a positive manner in regards to the new platform.
Great. Well, you know, this was really interesting to talk about today because so many jurisdictions are tackling different modernization projects. It's rare where we've able to focus in and really look at one particular element of modernization, kind of as Roman laid out, as the different phases of modernization that come along. And so, Logan, I think you'll have a number of people taking you up on your offer to call you up to get some tips and to dive a little bit deeper into your very successful and exciting case study. So I want to thank you guys for talking us through that.
I appreciate that, Ian. I'll just give them Roman's phone number.
That's great. Logan, Roman, Kevin, thank you for taking some time to chat with us today. Everybody who has tuned in and downloaded to listen into this episode of the AmvaCast, we appreciate you joining us. I want to thank you. I want to thank our producer, Claire Jeffrey, and we'll see you all next on the next episode of the AmvaCast. Stay well, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for AmvaCast, hosted by Ian Grossman, produced by Claire Jeffrey, music by Gibson Arthur. This episode has been brought to you by Get Group. Visit us at amvacast.podbean.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify.